I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about meditating on God's unfailing love. You know, you think about that for a moment. The Bible talks about often how God's love is unfailing. It's a pretty amazing thing to think about, God's love being unfailing, and they believe this is one of the most important things for us to be meditating on, is God's steadfast, unfailing love for us. But let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer process here. If you're new to us, this whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22, which says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And this verse inspired me to create manuals and systems and training for every area of life for my children, hopefully grandchildren one day. And we have training for spiritual growth and emotions and mindset and purpose and health and finances and family and all the areas of life. But out of everything we do, I think the two most important things that we want to get established in somebody's life are, number one, is this 30-day prayer challenge process. If it's about a 2-minute long prayer, and this prayer is mostly scriptures coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles, I believe chapter 4, and some other scriptures. We pray this prayer, and then we do the other half of prayer, taking a couple minutes to get still and to listen and to create a plan for the day with God. And then going about your day, executing those things, trusting that God's with you and executing them with a good attitude, with peace and joy and confidence in God. And I believe if you go through this process regularly, it will get God navigating your life. It'll get God, you'll see him coming through in your life in a way like you've never seen him, experienced him before coming through in your life probably. But I believe if you'll do that, and then you'll get plugged into and stay connected to these daily communion. Daily communion with Jesus is the most important thing that we do. We keep a box of matzah crackers and just red wine and grape juice at our house. We usually use grape juice for most of it. And grape juice at our house. And we take communion every day. We take communion often. Communion has the power to change the trajectory of our lives, I believe. And as we do these daily communion meditations, one of the most important things, meditating on God's unfailing love. Well, let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, and then we'll get into this meditation on God's unfailing love. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening to this and all of their families, their friends, those connected to them. And I pray for all of our church and governmental leaders, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I thank you for your steadfast, unfailing love for us. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us and bless our time here together today. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling encouraged and enlightened all at the same time. Expand our borders and our territory. Expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your unfailing love, Lord, and to let it flow through us so that we do good to the people right around us, but also to people all over the world. And Father, keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And Lord, we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's take just a second to do the other half of prayer. And if you need to pause the recording of this for a second to make some notes or to write some things down, you can do that. But let's start with real quick. We just prayed and asked God, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes. What do you know to do today? In the next 24 hours, not the things you're unsure of. What are the things that you know you need to do? Maybe things you've been procrastinating on. Maybe things that you know God's been stirring you to do on the inside. What are the things that you know to do? Just make a quick list. It might be one thing. It might be 10 things. Maybe you got some things that you've been just waiting on and not done yet. What are the things that you know to do? Just make a quick list of those. And then the next question, and take just a couple minutes. God, what is the most important thing you're trying to show me today? What is the most important thing you're trying to get across to me today that you want me to know today? And you're just going to take, if you need to pause the recording, you can. Take a minute, get still, listen. Whatever comes to mind, just write it down. Sometimes we make hearing God's voice overly complicated. Whatever comes to mind, begin to write that down. And if you'll do this regularly, I believe you'll see some massive shifts in just how your days go. And now, once we've got your plan for the day, let's go ahead and execute. Focus on executing, trusting that God's with you. He's present with you, helping you execute this. You've got an anointing from the Holy One where you know what to do. Do the things you know to do and do them with a good attitude. If you'll do those two things and stay plugged into Him, stay connected to Him, keep taking communion regularly, I believe you'll see some major shifts in your life, and give it some time. Give yourself that grace of extended time to see these changes happen in your life. So we're going to be talking about meditating on God's unfailing love. I was just reading through the Psalms the other day, and I was reading in Psalms 48. And in Psalms 48, let me see if I can find it here. I had it flipped open. It says this, Psalms 48, this is the sons of Korah. So these are the Levites, the sons of Korah were Levites. They were working in God's temple. And it says, within your temple, O God, this is Psalms 48, verse number 9. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Within your temple. So where is God's temple now? We are God's temple. Within God's temple, we meditate on your unfailing love. And so then we look in Psalms 49 right after that. Psalms 49, sons of Korah, again, same people writing this one. It says, my mouth, this is verse 3, my mouth will speak words of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will give you understanding. What are they meditating on? They're meditating on God's unfailing love. The meditation of God's unfailing love will give you understanding. Meditating on God's unfailing love will give you understanding. And what is it that you need to understand? When I wrote my book, The Eighth Date, the subtitle is God's Operating System for Abundant Life. It's His system for functioning in abundant life. And communion is one of the most important pieces of that. That's why these daily communion meditations are so important. But when I wrote that book, it all started with this verse from Proverbs chapter 4. Though it cost you all, though it cost you everything, gain understanding. Though it cost you all, though it cost you everything you have, gain understanding. And I went through about a 2-year period where it did cost me just about everything. I went through 2 years of just massive struggle in many ways. But on the backside of that, I developed understanding. And what was it that I needed to understand? I needed to understand God's unfailing love, God's grace, His steadfast love, that in this new covenant that we're going to be taking communion over here in just a minute. We got the bread, we got our juice. This new covenant, God has given us this covenant of unfailing love. We talk about often three levels. About level one is when someone does you wrong, you could retaliate at them. Level one. Level two is someone does you wrong, you just give them the silent treatment. You withdraw your presence. You just avoid them, do nothing, go silent and neutral. Whereas level three is you do continually good. You walk in the way of unfailing, steadfast love and grace. You just do continually good for people no matter what they do to you. And God functions in this level three. He could have retaliated us. We have all sinned. We've all missed it. He could have just retaliated us. Level one. He could have left us. He could have just left us alone and done nothing. But He chose to do continually good for us. He chose to give us grace. He chose to give us steadfast, unfailing love. And in the Hebrew, that word for steadfast love, I'm not sure if the unfailing love translates the same, but I know steadfast love is the Hebrew word for hesed. Hesed is this word that's hard to translate into English, but it has to do with loving kindness that's tied to a covenant, where God has made a covenant commitment. He has sworn to it. It's a blood sworn oath to steadfast love, to unfailing love, to loving kindness for us, where he's obligated himself. He didn't have to. He chose to in the covenant. He made the choice to do steadfast, unfailing love for us all the time. And God made that choice to do that for us, which is an amazing thing. And we're supposed to receive that. We're supposed to meditate on that. And as we meditate on his unfailing love, what does it lead to? It leads to understanding. And when I understand, Jesus says, if you would hear, see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your heart. Understand what? Understand God's love. Understand that God made that choice of level three, where he's working continually for your good. He wants to make you great. And I was just reading this morning, the disciples are asking Jesus, hey, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And some of the verses I saw in a new light this morning. Some of the verses we've talked about before, what does it mean to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to practice the commandments and teach them. Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to become the servant of many. But then I just read it in a different light this morning. The disciples asked Jesus, who's going to be the greatest? Not just great. Who's going to be the greatest? So there's a difference between being great and being the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest? And he says, it's the one who humbles himself like a little child. The one who humbles themselves like a little child will be the greatest. Not just great, but the greatest. This idea of just simple humility. It just meditates, you know, in my own strength, God, I really can't do much. In my own strength, I'm pretty limited in my wisdom and my knowledge and my power and what I can do on my own. But you're with me. Your steadfast, unfailing love is with me. And I can fix my mind on that through that humility. God gives grace to the humble, and you can become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven by just meditating, humbling yourself and meditating on his unfailing love. And so my question for you is this. For example, yesterday we did a communion meditation on marriage and money, about how usually those two, if you're experiencing issues in both of those areas of your life, marriage and money, both of those areas have to do, there's one root issue probably that causing both of those, which is has to do with partnership and covenant. And I believe if you'll learn more and grow more in your understanding, how do we get that understanding? Meditating on God's unfailing love. If you'll grow in your understanding of this covenant of love that God has given us, if you'll grow in your understanding of that, I believe that will be the root that transforms the marriage and the money. That God's understanding, God's unfailing love for you, understanding his continual goodness and grace to you in Christ, even when you miss it, I believe if you'll meditate on that and you'll grow in that, it will lead to understanding. And Jesus says this, if you would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your hearts, and turn, some versions say convert into, if you would turn or convert that understanding, convert how much God loves me and his unfailing, steadfast love for me. If I would convert that, understanding leads to knowledge of knowing what to do. Because you have an anointing, you have an unction of knowing what to do. And as you meditate on God's unfailing love, it teaches you what to do. It teaches you the right step to take, the right action to take, because you've got unfailing love. We're talking about the faith of just little kids. Just I'm reminded yesterday, I've got a four-year-old, and we had some candy in the house, and she knew that she was going to get a piece of candy. Well, she had done something. I said, all right, well, you can get two pieces of candy. She says, all right, I want them now. I want my pieces of candy right now. I said, well, we're about to eat dinner. You can have your candies after dinner. She says, no, I want my candies now. I said, no, you can have your candies after dinner. And she kind of thinks about it for a second. She looks at me and she puts her hands on her hips. She says, okay, I trust you. It just kind of caught me off guard. Okay, I trust you. Okay. And I feel like in a lot of ways, God is saying the same thing. Fix your eyes on my unfailing love and put your trust in me. That simple childlike faith that just says, you know what? God loves me. He sent his one and only son. How do we meditate on God's love? Meditation is to ponder. It's to imagine. It's to think on. It's to mutter and speak about. It's even to growl about. So when problems and issues come at you in your life, you can growl about God's unfailing love at these problems. Growl God's promises of unfailing love. And what are some of these promises? God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever would believe on him would have eternal life. And if he gave you Jesus, how will he not freely give you all things? So if you have an issue in your life, it could be health, it could be marriage, it could be money, it could be with a child, it could be any area of life, whatever issues you have, I believe the answer is found in meditating on God's unfailing love, because it will teach you what to do. If you'll get that understanding in your heart and then convert it into the knowledge of, all right, what do I know to do based on God's unfailing love? And I like to think of it this way. When I meditate on God's unfailing, perfect love, think about this. God is love, and love never fails. That means God never fails. And we can trust him, like my four-year-old. All right, I trust you. We can meditate on that. And love never fails. And when we meditate on his perfect love, what happens? Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And when the fear is gone, faith begins to rise up. And it leads to us walking by faith and to taking more bold, more confident steps of faith where we're trusting in God. When we meditate on his unfailing love, I'll say it again, perfect love casts out all fear. And when the fear is gone, faith rises up and we begin to take more bold, more confident steps of faith. But let's take communion over this. Communion, I believe, is one of the most important things that we do. And every time we take communion, we take so with holy awe and reverence. And we don't want to let our familiarity with it breed contempt. Take it with holy awe and reverence for just God's unfailing love. If you do nothing else, just meditate on his unfailing love for us. To think about his body was broken, his blood was shed because of love, because he loved us that much. And you can make it personal. He loved me that much. With our Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He gave thanks for it. Father, we thank you for this bread. And he blessed it. Father, we bless this bread in Jesus' name. He said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So as we take the bread, it's a reminder that the cup of God's wrath, all of his anger, all of his frustration for all the ways that we missed it, was poured onto the body of Jesus so that now we have the cup of his blessing, a cup of his favor, the cup of participation in him. And we have this new covenant where we have God's unfailing, steadfast, his hesed love for us, this covenant love. And you can call out to him, say, God, have hesed on me. If you don't know what else to say, God, I just trust in your unfailing love. Have hesed on me, Lord. Pour your steadfast, unfailing love out on me, Lord. You don't know what else to say, you can pray that. And Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. We bless it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant. Pour it out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Thank you, Lord. So every time we take communion, it's a reminder, it's an activation of these promises. We're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus that happened over 2,000 years ago, and we're bringing it into the present moment, making it relevant in our lives right now. And I believe if we receive it right here in this present moment, it changes the trajectory of our lives going forward. It lifts and elevates our lives as we go forward in time. But then we have to follow through. We got to walk it out. And so my encouragement for you today, what I would have you do, begin to meditate on God's love. Maybe go for a walk. Just go for a walk and just think about, ponder on, talk about it to yourself. about God's unfailing love. His love has been shed abroad in your hearts. If he gave you Jesus, how will he not freely give you all things? Love never fails. God is unfailing. God is love. I like to, sometimes I'll put where God's name is in scriptures. I'll just put love in there instead. So for example, it says 2 Corinthians chapter 9, God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that having all sufficiency in all things, you can abound to every good work. Sometimes I'll change out God's name and I'll put love in there. Love is able to make all grace abound to you. So that having all sufficiency in all things, you can abound to every good work. Sometimes you can just take where God's name is in scripture and put love in there. It just gives you a different insight as you begin to meditate on God's unfailing love. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.